I'm Tom Baker, and you are listening to Law and Gospel on this January the 22nd in the year of our Lord 2014. It's a Wednesday, and you know what we do on Wednesdays? We have Insight Wednesday, and I'm happy to have two guests with me in the studio. The one is Sharon Reardon, and the other is Kira Burkle. Sharon Reardon was on Lutherans for Life State Board for 3 years, and I guess we should divulge this. She was also one of my Sunday school teachers when I was at St. James Lutheran Church. And her husband, Steve Reardon, is a new pastor at St. Paul's in Wildwood, Missouri, where last week we baptized our grandson. What was his name?
Gavin.
Gavin, thank you.
Gavin Thomas.
Oh, Gavin Thomas Baker.
That's right.
That was really hard to say when I did that. Thought I was baptizing myself. But anyway. And she brought with her her co-worker, Kira Burkle, who is the intake coordinator of what we're going to be talking about, namely Safe Family. So first of all, welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
What is Safe Families? Is it an extension of pro-life or something, or how would you describe it?
I definitely would say Safe Families is an extension of the pro-life movement. Pro-lifers are often accused of being there before the baby's born, but after the child is born, they say, where are you? And you're not helping. And Safe Families walks alongside moms and children. And that's what we do. And it's a perfect answer to where's a pro-life community after the child is born.
Kira, you're the first person who speaks on the phone. So what kinds of people in need would be phoning you?
We get mostly calls from single mothers who find themselves in a variety of crisis situations where they don't have either the family support to help them, or they feel like their child is unsafe for some reason. So a lot of these families are struggling with homelessness. They're maybe about to be evicted. The only family members they have available maybe are unsafe or just unstable, unreliable. And sometimes there's direct crises that come up too, such as surgeries that these moms need, that their kids need. We are partnering also with a couple maternity shelters in St. Louis. So sometimes we have moms that call in and say, I'm going to be in labor in a couple months. I don't have anywhere else for my other kids to stay. If I don't find someplace safe for them, DCFS will step in. Can you help us? So there's a number of situations where these families just don't know where to turn, and they call us to get connected with some families with us.
I know how important that is. We have four grandchildren, and normally the wife is off work for a little bit, but then she has to go back to work. And I always know that that's kind of important because I don't see Louise for, that's my wife, 4 out of 5 days during the week.
Is
she going over to take care of them? And we just never think that. That's kind of the example you gave. A woman, single, has two children, and she has to go into surgery for 3 weeks. So what are the possibilities? Do you take the children yourself? How many children have you got at your home?
I have zero children at my home right now.
So nobody's phoned.
Nope. No, we have about 50 host families, actually, that are available to take in kids, depending on the situation, number of kids, age of kids, that sort of thing. So I think right now we have maybe 10 to 15 kids in host homes.
So you have about 40 that are available.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon, last week, you did not attend the baptism, even though it was, I don't want to, you know, be negative here, but you had, in my opinion, a more important task. And what did you do?
I went to Concordia Maplewood. It was a wonderful service. Met the saints that worship there. And during Bible class, I was able to explain exactly what it is that Safe Families does. And my job really for Safe Families is recruiting new host families. Usually when someone calls in and they have a need and they have children that need a safe home to stay in, we have plenty of families. I think only one time last year during the summer months, we couldn't place some children because we didn't have enough families available because our usual host families were on vacation, things such as that. So it kind of has to be this perfect storm of having enough host families and then we can go out and get the word out about what we do because then families can come in and we'll have a place for their kids.
Okay, so let's say my wife and I decide to volunteer. We won't because she's taking care of four grandchildren. But I mean, for normal families, what are the expectations? Does the child or the children come and actually live with that host family?
Yes, that's exactly what happens. For our host families, they take kiddos into their homes. Sometimes these kids don't come with much. So the expectation would be that a host family would involve the body of Christ, their support system, their church, and helping them maybe share clothes their grandchildren aren't wearing right now or that sort of thing. So they can go to their church to get support as they are having the child actually in their home. So it's a ministry that not only families who have the ability to care for kids right now can take part in, but also their small groups, their church families can walk alongside them as they're supporting this family directly.
Let's say the child that needs care is from Kirkwood, but your host family lives in North St. Louis or something. What happens to school?
So typically our kids that we serve are five and under. The vast majority of them are younger. So we don't have to handle the school situation that much. If we do and when we do, sometimes we're able to use a program called Students in Transition that's provided by the school districts to help get displaced children to and from their home school district. So we've been able to use that in the past. We also just get creative with using volunteers. Kids sometimes have to miss a couple days of school depending on the situation, so we make it work.
I'm looking at the website right now, which is safe-families.org. Anybody can go there and you'll see all of the things that they do. They talk about child welfare deflection, child abuse prevention, family support and stabilization. And this is not just a St. Louis, it's nationwide. However, if you're in the St. Louis area and you would be looking either for some help or maybe becoming a host family, the number to phone is 314-452-6547. We'll speak about that a little later. Can you give me an experience when you went to the church? Were there some people who were thinking of volunteering? How do they go about that? Do you have to kind of vet them?
We absolutely do. I can speak, first of all, about two families at the congregation that were interested in becoming host families. One was a recently retired couple. They've been having free time for the past 4 months, and they were really interested in perhaps being a host family. And the other family was a new family that moved to town, had four children of their own, and they were really interested in hosting. So then Kira can kind of tell you the steps after that.
Yeah, so to become an approved Safe Families host family, first of all, there's an application that we get from host families. That's probably the longest part of the process. It's about 8 to 12 pages. From there, we collect references. We do background checks. There's some online training, some training videos that we have families watch. That's about 3 hours. So that part of the initial training doesn't take that long. We do a home study where I or another staff member come to the home, make sure it's safe, talk over safe families, staff answer questions, that sort of thing. So the process really can take as short as a week and a half or 2 weeks, or can take as long as a host family needs as they are processing through what it would take to become a host family with us.
Perhaps our listeners have a question, either for Sharon or Kira. The number to phone in the St. Louis area is 821-0850, or anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. So if you have a question about Safe Families, let's go ahead and do that. Once the children are placed into a family, do you continue with visits?
We do. We have a family coach. She's really wonderful. She goes out at least once a week, maybe for the first 3 weeks
or so. For the first month.
For the first month. And then makes periodic visits thereafter. But what's a really special component of this program, first of all, they want to return to the church, the caring for families in need. I think that we've gotten to a point where we think the state takes care of all of that, and this is before the state steps in. So it serves families that would not be served otherwise. These children aren't abused or neglected, at this point, and this is to prevent that. So say, for example, you have a mom and she has a new job and she's not going to get home till 5 o'clock in the evening. She needs to start right away, hasn't figured out where and how to do childcare. So rather than leave her 7-year-old home alone, which the state might then consider to be a neglectful situation, the mom can place a child with a safe family's family until she gets all those details worked out.
Last week we had Mark Laverty on, and he was talking about he has a pro-life group in his church, Zion Maryland Heights. But we also talked about that large van, which has ultrasound, mm-hmm. goes over to Planned Parenthood, parks near the place. And then I guess in Missouri, you are to have an ultrasound, but Planned Parenthood charges like $200, and the ultrasound van is free. Now, I'm just asking you the question. When the ultrasound people hand out literature, is Safe Families noted on that literature that these people could phone?
They don't have our number listed on any of their main packets that they hand out to people, but they are familiar with who we are and what we do. So we're working on getting them those brochures or something to have handy, even just to have it more in their vocabulary as they're talking to these women who come into the van. So they do know who we are, and there are some specific instances that it triggers, oh, Safe Families, and they direct them to us. We get referrals from them.
Yeah, I would think that part of the question somebody who's about to have an abortion would be is, what am I going to do if I don't have this abortion? Mm-hmm. And perhaps you might want to make up a little brochure. What happens if I don't have the abortion? Who can help
mm-hmm.
me?
Oh,
mm-hmm. And then you would hand that to them, because that would be a big reason perhaps why they wouldn't.
Yes.
They 250 women did not have an abortion last year. Because of this van.
Yeah, that Thrive van is amazing. It really is. And I know, too, that at Thrive, at the crisis pregnancy centers, and when I worked at a crisis pregnancy center in the Chicago area, they knew about Safe Families. They had Safe Families brochures there. So if a mom would come in crisis and she would say, I already have 3 children. What happens when I have this baby and I have to go to the hospital? Who will take care of my 3 children? The crisis pregnancy center I worked for, again in Chicago, would always give them a Safe Families brochure and would say, these people can help care for your other children while you're having this baby, while you're in the hospital, or for as long as you need them to.
Early in my ministry at St. James Lutheran, I had a member, well, actually it was a daughter, one of my members. She was not yet a member, and she was going to have her 3rd abortion. And they told me about her, and we went and visited her, and was the organization, I think, called Birthright. It was amazing what they did. They first of all got her a doctor without any cost. They gave her an apartment at no cost. They gave her a job, food and clothing. And then after the baby was born, they helped to put her into a good situation. And I was just really surprised, because a lot of times you hear from those who are not pro-life that, well, the pro-lifers really don't care about the babies after they are born. But you're saying this is another way in which we really do care about the babies and are willing to help out these folks.
This is a really exciting way to be pro-life and a way to take that extra step. Mm-hmm. And when I went out on my first day, for orientation, we went to a home, and there was a mom, and she had 2 little ones that she was actually job searching, and she couldn't find care for them as she was going about her job search. And so we found a Safe Family for these little guys for a month. But one of the questions she said is, why are you doing this? And we're able to answer, because this is, God calls us as Christians to care for one another because of what he's done for us, out of that love for us. We're motivated to care for you and to help your family. And so one of the most beautiful aspects of Safe Families is it's such a natural way to share the gospel, not only with the children that are in your home that will go to church with you and have family devotions with you and pray with you and hear who Jesus is, but also with their moms. We encourage the host families to have a relationship with the mom. They talk, they text back and forth, and then the host family can invite the mom to church. It's about walking beside this family.
One of the big things in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is mercy. That's part of the church's task, to be merciful. During the tsunami, what happened after that occurred, Lutherans went into, I believe, Sri Lanka. And there they have the philosophy that, you know, when things happen, you deserve it happens to you. And here are all these Lutherans helping them with food, building houses, etc. So people ask, why are you doing this? Because they were kind of like the Pharisees in Jesus' day who thought that you were blind, etc., because of some sin you had done. Mm-hmm. And here these Lutherans were coming in. We ended up getting 3 Lutheran churches in Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. Because of the tsunami, and people are so astonished to hear. And so, in a sense, this is kind of what you're doing. But I want to be careful. This isn't a switch and bait type of thing. In other words, your goal isn't primarily to help them understand about Christianity. Your goal primarily is just to help them in their needs. And if God so moves in that direction, you're willing to step in.
Exactly right. If God opens that door for us. And he so often does. These moms are so grateful to the host families that have their little ones that they want to know them. They want to know what makes them tick, and they become friends. And it's just a natural way.
Numbers here, St. Louis, if you want to talk to these women, 821-0850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Now, that 314 number I gave out would also be for families who might be interested in becoming host families. What requirements are you looking for? Like, I was surprised if they already have children, you still would allow them to have these children.
Yes, definitely. So the main requirements we have are the couple in a family needs to be older than 25. They need to have enough space in their house to put another bed for a child. It can be a temporary bed. People don't have to have extra bedrooms or square footage requirements like for state foster care, whatever that's called, becoming certification. It's more flexible than that. So you just have to be able to feed a child, clothe a child, house a child, and really get safe families. A lot of the requirements that we have for host families is just an understanding of the philosophy, an agreement with where we stand in terms of building relationships with families, having degrees of empathy for these families, getting a good pastor recommendation, of course, and just being open to loving on some kids in their home.
When I used to rent houses, I get caught a couple of times. I buy a house and they say that was good for 6 people. And then after I bought it, they would change the dimensions of bedrooms and they come back and say, no, only 5 people. But you're saying that those restrictions, because it's temporary, don't come into play with safe families.
Exactly. Our average hosting arrangement lasts for 30 days.
I was just going to ask you that. So it's about a 30-day and then they go back. Is a continued relationship with the family and especially the mother encouraged or allowed?
Yes, it's definitely encouraged, definitely allowed. So we like to think of it as short-term hosting with long-term relationships. So even after the kiddos go home, we want to, whenever possible, keep that door open if the mom needs to call back again.
And I think the host families have grown to love these children that they have in their care and their mom as well. And so it's just a natural thing for them to want to call up and say, hi, how are you doing? And and also, again, they understand that the families might need help with transportation, things like that. And they continue to walk alongside that mom and help her.
As a host family, I might be giving the thought, what kind of child might I get? There are some children that are born with deformities or various psychological problems. Are they also placed? And if so, are they placed in specific families?
We don't take kiddos who have severe medical issues or behavioral issues, mental problems, just because our host families aren't trained and equipped to be able to parent those kids when they're in their home. So if we had a family who said, I have a specialty in caring for kids with special needs, I'd love to take them into my home, then we would be okay with that. But typically we have to refer those families to other organizations.
And what kind of other organizations? Are those possible?
Yes, there's First Steps is a group that helps kids with special needs. I think they provide respite services for some of those kids. There's also a couple autistic groups. I'm not sure the specific names, right. But yeah. And also Christian Family Services. They have a similar respite program to us, and I believe they have some families that are able to help with those needs.
And this is not primarily just a Lutheran organization, Sharon. This is Christians.
Definitely. A lot of Christian churches in the area and Christians from all denominations serve as host families for us.
So say there's a pastor who might be interested in having you come. What's the process? He phones this number, the 452-6547 number?
Yes, that would be fine. He could phone that number and then probably get Kira, and then she could give me the contact information. And we absolutely see it as an honor and a privilege to be able to present at area churches and to tell them about Safe Families and to look for those host families. We really need them.
A lot of times as a pastor, I was very careful who I allowed to speak to my congregation because some people are just after finances or something. Do you ask for money from the congregations or is it primarily looking for host families?
We are primarily looking for host families. We have five ways that congregations can help Safe Families. And I think the fifth thing it lists is money. It's more looking for volunteers in various capacities. But of course, no organization ever turns down a gift. So.
Oh, yes. So what would a pastor expect you to say? What's kind of your agenda when you go to a congregation and have some moments with them?
Well, the first thing, as you mentioned, I was brought up in your congregation. So when I talk to the pastor, I'm very respectful. And I let him know exactly.
What, because you weren't respectful to me?
That's how
so
I learned.
So you've learned. Yes, that's good.
No, and my husband's a pastor, so I know that there's this definite aspect. They care for their congregation, and they want to make sure that what they're going to hear is theologically sound and and good. So I always talk to the pastor about how much time I have. I say, do you want a script? Do you want to know exactly what I'm going to say? And I get to know the pastor. I always do a pastor visit before I address the congregation so that he really knows, the organization really knows me. But yeah, that's kind of how I work doing my pastor visits.
How long have you been in existence?
In St. Louis, we've been here for about 3.5 years. Uh-huh. Nationwide, the first Safe Families was established in Chicago about 10 years ago.
But what's really interesting is from last year to this year, we've doubled the number of families that we've served, our hosting arrangements that we've had. So what is that number, Kira?
So in 2013, we had 153 hosting arrangements. So that means a child
in St. Louis?
In St. Louis,
wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In the St. Louis area, which also includes St. Charles, Jefferson County.
With only 51 host families.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So a host family can get more than one individual for a year.
Exactly.
Oh, they usually do. They usually do. And it's so funny. Part of my position is to call and thank the host families when they've completed a hosting arrangement. And they tell me that it's their children usually who say, Mom, when is the next child going to come and
really?
Stay with us? Yeah. So, and our host families, they're just so amazing. I'm seeing Christians serve at a level I've never seen before. I mean, sometimes the families, well, for example, there's a family, they have five children and they had twins that they were hosting for us. The twins were a year old. And in the middle of that all, she had a baby. So she has a 3-week-old. So mom, dad, five children, and they're, and two more children that they've taken in for Safe Families. So it's amazing.
Now, Kira, you mentioned you have videos. Have you got a video of a family that the video would show them first meeting the child and then taking care of them and afterwards maybe even a continued relationship and the children in the family real happy? Anything like that?
We do have a video about the story of one mom that we didn't serve here in St. Louis,
okay.
But I believe it was in Chicago, Clarissa's story. And that kind of shows, the beginning of the relationship, meeting the child in the park, the child getting to know the host family kiddos and becoming comfortable with them, and then kind of just the narrative of what that did for this mom, having her kids with this host family, and the follow-up as well.
Do you show that when you do your program?
I do.
Yeah, I was going to say that would really be...
And what's really lovely about this story, you can just see how it plays out. The mom who needed help was actually a foster child herself, and from the foster care system. So she doesn't have a natural support system like we do, like your grandchildren do.
Right.
With your wife. And so Safe Families really, really did help her. There's also on that website, there's a piece by Katie Kirk. She did a piece on Safe Families and then a follow-up piece. And it's just excellent. Really does allow the viewer to see what it is that Safe Families is all about.
And can you see any of that on the website I'm looking at, safe-families.org?
Yes, it's all there.
That's all there. So if at all. Okay, we're almost, believe it or not, at the end. Do you have anything you want to add?
I think that we covered most of it. I think that that really gives a good picture of what Safe Families is. There's many ways to get involved besides just hosting, so I can throw that out there. We really need anyone in the body of Christ who has any gifts they want to share with us. We'd love to plug them in. So not just hosting.
Yeah, definitely. There's transportation needs. There's sometimes a host family will have a child and they'll need to go out of town for the weekend. So we have special families for that are willing to take these little ones in just for the weekend. All sorts of ways to return the caring of these precious families to the church.
Mm-hmm. That a great way to end, because we want to return it to the church. That's the goal. I want to thank Sharon and Kira for being my co-host today. And the number I promised to give out is 314-452-6547. And you'll be able to get all the information you want, as well as the website, safe-families.org. Tomorrow, Wes Reimnitz on Ruminations. We're going to be talking about evolution and give you some ammunition to talk to your friends about it. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.